Revival messages. I hope we have revival time. Revival gets here. Rick Brown will be our revival speaker, but I hope we revive before then. But there's a lot of hindrance to revivals in this day that we're living in, whether you believe it or not. Reading our Bible, it's like reading the day's newspaper or watching television. Everything we see in the Bible is so up to date of what we really need. And this chapter is so up to date what America needs today, what you and I need, and also what the church needs today, and that is revival. It's time for a showdown. And I believe that we're living in the days, even in our country, it's certainly a time for showdown. We're living in a time of great diversity of our country. People are being divided. They was at the time of Elijah. But I believe that God can bring people back. But it's time for a showdown. And we're living in those times, and it's going to have to be a showdown. Revival in general, we may have revival personally, we may have revival of our church. But as I read this verse of Scripture, verse 22, and if you keep your Bibles open to chapter 18, most of us are familiar with this chapter, King Ahaz and Jezebel. It says, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal prophets are 450 men. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the precious, precious word of God, for allowing us to see ourselves in the condition that we're really in. And Father, we know that help's on the way. Father, we know that we can have a revival, Father, because you will send revival if your people, Lord, are humble themselves. And Father, we certainly need to be humble today. Father, we pray that each heart here might be laid open and bare. I certainly believe not only as individual as myself, but I believe our church, I believe our families, I believe our nation certainly needs to be revived and brought back to you. Father, we know that you can do it if we are willing to let you in our lives, in our personal lives, our family life. So we just pray here today at this beginning that you might speak to your people, that truly we may have a revival. We certainly, certainly need one. And we'll just give you honor and praise and glory for what you're going to do in the hearts of God's people this day. And these blessings we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen. Now, the background of this chapter, there was dark days in Israel, just like dark days in our country. A whole lot darker than most people realize is what's happening in our country this day. Apostasy is going on. They mean it's departing from the Word of God. At that time, in the nation of Israel, horrible, horrible sin of killing their children, turning to false idols. They had forgot God, as we have in this country. They was worshiping false God, as we do in this country. They're worshiping idols, as we do in this country. Their great idol was Baal himself. In this time, we have the man come on the scene, Elijah. Elijah come on the scene, and Ahab and Jezebel was a king and queen over the nation of Israel. There's time for a showdown, and I believe it's time today, because we see the same thing of old Ahab on the nation of our country today. It's time to see which God is a true God. At this time, they gathered all the people of Mount Carmel, the nation of Israel, built an altar, sacrificed, and they prayed that the God that answered the prayer by fire would be the true God they would serve. God is going to send fire, the fire revival. I'm going to tell you what, America is sick. America is sick. As you look upon our nation, we are in deep trouble in our nation. Most of us know this deal of this thing called a president has put together on Iraq and Iran and the nuclear power that he has permitted them to have, and he has totally turned his back on the nation of Israel. Now, we will not be able to help them. Two-thirds of the people in this country is against this plan. But you see, he's so far from God and the people that follows him that people are afraid what's going to happen now to Taliban and Al-Qaeda and all the rest of these groups that's going to come in and kill people. It's going to happen. But our fear is not from these people. Our greatest fear is from the judgment of Almighty God. Now you better believe this. Almighty God upon America. The need in America is an old-fashioned. Fire from heaven. Sin-killing. Life-transforming. Soul-saving revival. I wonder if this country has enough of wisdom to turn to God. If we don't turn to God, they're going to be oceans of blood, they're going to be rivers of tears, and they're going to be seas of sorrow. The price we're going to pay for turning our back on God. It is on the way. It is time for a showdown with God's people. It was a time in the nation of Israel, as the same thing had happened to them, turned their back on God. It was a time for a showdown. Now we say this morning, I believe you ought to be able to say that we all need a revival. And we say, boy, amen to that. We need a revival, amen. For many of God's people, though, we really don't believe revival is possible. Do you believe revival is possible? We say amen, but do you really believe it? We're living in the last days. We have sunk so low in this country in sin. We think that we can't have a revival. Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission before he went back to heaven. You know what he said? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of ages. God is not absent. God is not sick. God is not deaf. His ears are not dull that he cannot hear. His arms is not short that he cannot save. The problem in America, in the lives of God's people, is not God, it's God's people. It's us's today. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, we are in bad need of that. Then he says, I will hear and I will send a revival. Do y'all believe that we can have revival at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church? Y'all believe that you can have a personal revival? If we don't have a revival at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, can you have a revival personally? Yes, you can. I don't know if our nation is going to be revived or not, but we can have a revival. As we think about this, there's the enemies of revival. There are going to be some things that's going to hinder this church and you as an individual person from having revival. There's enemies to all revival. God wants to send revival. The devil do not want it. There was enemy revival at that time. There's enemies today that keep us from having a revival. But it's time for a showdown. And he says, you know, he called all the people of Mount Carmel. That was calling them together. That's a revival when you call God's people together. You see, on the day that we approach God on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we're calling all God's people together as members of this church and surrounding people today. He called all the people there to Mount Carmel because it's time for a showdown. I believe this morning, today, I'm calling you because it is time for a showdown for God's people at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And if you listen to what God has already put on my heart, you may recognize yourself in this sermon this morning. And I hope you do recognize yourself. Because there's compromisers. There's the corrupt. There's the confused. And then they have the competition. These are hindrance and enemies of revival, and we will not have revival until we recognize these four things. We have them in our midst continuously all the time. We have a showdown coming. The Word of God and the Spirit of God help us today. The first thing, the compromise. Now, they were represented by a man named Obadiah. You may recognize yourself. Now, he was a true believer in the Lord. Just like today, you say, well, they're church members. They say he was a true believer according to the Word of God in the Lord, but he was a compromiser. We have so many Christians that's compromisers today, and they are enemies to revivals. Now, he lined up with King Ahab. which was a very, very wicked king of the nation of Israel. Example today, those that lines up with this wicked king that we have over America today, Obadiah was a servant of Ahab. Rather than being lined up with God's man, Elijah, he was lined up with Ahab. Even though it says he was a believer, I'll show you in a moment. And it's the people that saved are lined up against Jesus Christ by their votes and by their election and what we have on the throne of this country this day and the direction this country is going in. It says there in verse 3 through 6, and Abraham called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. You see, he feared the Lord greatly. He was a man of God. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with the bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Provincially we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive that we lose on all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went the other way by himself. It was a time where it had not rained in 3.5 years upon that land. All their animals was dying. Old King Ahab and Obadiah, they was going to divide themselves. They went looking for grass. Now, as we see this, Obadiah, it said, feared the Lord, but he was a servant there of Ahab. Today, as Christian today, as I said, who you support today in Christians of this land, who you fall in line with. We will not have revival unless we line up with Jesus Christ. We got to line up with the Word of God. Now, they was looking for grass. Now, as I said, it had not rained in 3.5 years. Now, there was global warming at that time. You see, there global warming at this time we're going on today because, you see, God's going to warm things up in our country, in our world. There was global warming. It had not rained in 3.5 years. They was looking for grass. Well, what's wrong with that? Why do you say that he was a compromiser? When he was looking for grass, he should have been praying for rain. God's people should be praying for rain rather than looking for grass. And that's why he was a compromiser. Now, what we're trying to do in the picture we have here is trying to prop up things as he did Obadiah, looking for grass to water the horses and the mules. He tried to prop up things. You know what we try to do as Christians today? You better listen to me now. In our country, we're looking at the government to prop up things for us. We out there looking for grass through our government to prop up things for us. You know what we want? It's all about the economy, all about the economy, all about the economy. Don't matter who votes for what, no matter what they stand for, but we for the economy. You know what we want? We want things better without repentance. We want things better in our country. We want things better in our life without repentance. We're looking for grass. We ought to be praying throughout the land. God's people should be praying. Israel, land at that time, was already under the judgment of God. He was judging their land until the rain come. And the rain of these verses of Scripture is a symbol of revival. There will be no revival as long as we have compromised Christians. They are compromising the Word of God and lining up against the ungodly, Christ-rejecting, God-hating people that we support and run this country and try to prop up our country looking for grass instead of praying to Almighty God. They're the compromisers. We see the compromiser in Obadiah. Now, listen, as we search for grass and trying to prop up things, and we really want grass so bad, but listen, revival can come whenever we turn to God. And I tell you what, he will not send revival through Washington, D.C. He'll send it through his people. He'll save people. You say, well, are you talking to me? Am I a compromiser? I'm not talking to anybody. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God talk to you. I don't know your heart. I only know mine, and my heart needs to be revived. Are you a compromiser? Well, who do you line up with? Who have you supported to line up in this country against the things of God? Are you a compromiser? Was there ever a time that you loved Jesus Christ more than you do now? Was there a time that you had more joy of coming and serving him as glad whenever Sunday morning comes, Sunday school, or was you so glad to be here? was a power in your prayer? How about your church attendance for all the services that we have at this church? Used to, some came and some of them was in the choir and they couldn't wait to get back to the Sunday night where they can sing again. Couldn't wait for Sunday school. Was there a time that you loved you? How about your attendance? Now, if you're a compromiser, you line up with Obadiah and the life, that your life make a difference. Does your life make a difference? Your family, your loved ones, your neighbor, if they ever come to Christ, they're going to have to crawl over or drag over your poor testimony if you're a compromiser. If you're a compromiser, the second thing there, they're the corrupt. Now, this is represented by Ahab and Jezebel. They was the corrupt. And verse 17 and 18 tells us, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah and said, and Ahab said unto him, thou art that troubles Israel, blaming him. Elijah said unto him, I am not troubled Israel, but thou, Ahab, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Baalism. You see what he said? You are the troublemaker, Elijah. Oh, Ahaz, did you know that people says that you Christians are the troublemakers of our country? The Christians are the troublemakers of our country. Yeah. Have y'all followed this thing on television out there in Kentucky where this lady refuses to give marriage license to homosexual, lesbians, and same-sex marriage? She refuses to put her in jail. Did you know what a lot of Christians say? She ought to go ahead and do it. It's her fault. And other people around, it's her fault. She ought to do it. No, she had not ought to do it. God said it's forbidden to do it and stand on it if they do put you in jail. But you look at a people says it's her fault. She ought not have that job. Walter Cronkite says the trouble in our country is Christians. I'm a liberal man. I always have been. The people blame Christians of this country because we cannot accept any other type of religion because we believe in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. It's not the gods of any type of gods of this world, and will always be the blame of problems. But we better stand on it and understand that, to understand that we are not the troublemakers. We are the one that believes in Jesus Christ. Ahab is the wicked king. Now it says in the same book in chapter 16, verse 30, and Ahab the son of Obai did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. In other words, he was the most wickedest king that the country Israel had ever had. Can we say amen to the same thing as squatting on this country? You better understand that he is a God-hater and Christ-rejected man. And all of his followers are too. The most wicked politician that Israel had ever had a king. But as wicked as he was, O King Ahab, he was wicked. But you know, no matter how wicked he was, did you know one thing? He could not hold back revival. And this same wicked thing that we have and all of his cronies cannot hold back revival. We can have revival because the Bible says greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to tell you, it ought to be an uplifting mission for us today, because if we want revival, we can have one. If we line ourselves up with what God says, we can have revival. But you see, they was a compromiser, and they was corrupt, and also they was a confused. They was a confused. Why? The confused people, the crowds of people, verse 19 through 21. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. That's all God's people. And the prophet of Baal was 450, and the prophet of the groves was 400. Which did eat at Jezebel's table. That's 850 people right there, prophets. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word.
Who do you serve? Who do you serve? They have made up their mind. You know what was wrong with them? They was confused because of the crowd. You know what was wrong with them? They was fence straddlers. They straddled a fence. Today, there's fence straddlers. Not enough of courage to follow the devil and not enough of grace to serve Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with our country. That's what's wrong with our churches. That's what's wrong with a lot of people this day. The reason so many are confused, our children, our neighbors, our friends, look at our life and our church commitment. Do we really serve Jesus Christ? Are we straddling the fence and just come once in a while? What causes you to serve Jesus Christ? Are you a compromiser? Are you the corrupt? Are you the confused? People is watching our life today. Whenever God's people gets right, multitudes of people come to know Jesus Christ. The holding back revival is holding back for God to work in lost people's soul and come to know Jesus Christ. And then we have so much competition today. The enemies of revival represents the priest, represents the priest of old Baal. So much competition. Verse 22 of this chapter. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. I only, 450. Boy, we outnumbered. And we are outnumbered today, I'm going to tell you, of Christianity. We are outnumbered today. Did you know 1/3 of the angels fell from heaven? But if 1/3 did fall, don't tell us how many that God made. That means there's still 2/3 angels. There's enough to go around of the angel to do what God wants to do on this earth. And today we have so much competition. The competition that force a work against revival, not here in my life and your life, but also in this church, in this nation today. We have the force, sports activities and pleasures. Humanism, atheism, and we can go on and on of the competition of Christianity and competition that holds back revival of God's people. We won't have revival on a Friday night. We quit it on Thursday night. Why? Most people I talk to run revival says the crowd on Friday night won't be enough to say amen. Because of sports and the pleasure of this world, the competition of revival that we have in our life and our country. And there's many more of competition we have today. You know what's wrong with God's people today? We are bound. We are bound by false gods. We are bound by false gods. But you see, there's really no competition with Jesus Christ. Because God can send a revival regardless. If we do what he says we must do. But they are enemies of revival. I want you to know that. But also they are elements of revival. In verse 30 and 31. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people, that's all the church members of Pleasant Hill, came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones. That represented all the 12 nations of Israel, tribes of Israel, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Israel, whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be my name. Elijah comes together now, and this is a solidarity now of God's people. This revival they fixing to have. Now, he says he come and there was no altar. He said he built that altar unto the people. All the people come and he built that altar. He repaired because it was broken down. You know what an altar represents today? It represents the unity of God's people. You know what's wrong with us today? Our altar is broke down. We have no unity as we should. Thank you, Lord, for the unity that we have here. But you say, as God's people as a whole, we do not have the unity as we should have. We don't have the altar of God's people across this nation is broken down. Look at what people serve and look what people lined up with across our country. It says they are Christian, they are saved. The altar of America is broken down. We have no unity. Solidarity of God's people must come together. And he said, I'll take these 12 stones and build one upon another for an altar. Represents the unity of God's people, of Israel. Our country, our church. Because the enemy have divided us. The altar says unity. Just like this church. Why do we have service on Sunday night and also Wednesday night? It's for the unity of God's people. That's what it's about. Did you know God allowed this church to stand the years that it had at Pleasant Hill on this place here? It's called Pleasant Hill Baptist Church because it's the unity of this community together as this church. Why should I go to church? Because of the unity of God's people. The altar. We get back to praying together as a group. Worshiping together as a group. Loving together as a group. We'll have revival. You know, we have about 400 people of the member of this church. We had a prayer meeting Wednesday night. I'm not going to tell you how many was here. But you say, well, we're outnumbered. And also you say, well, there's some things about the church I don't like. But 2-2, there's some things about the church I don't like. What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? The unity is the altar of Almighty God. This is the altar today. You're here at this church to bring people together. Don't look down your nose at Obadiah and also Ahab. If you have a spirit of division among you and don't care about your church or anybody, it's a member of this church, should be at this church. Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. If one thing that God desires, that is for his people to be together. Do y'all believe that? Who am I preaching to? Do you love your church and be together? Part of the unity as we meet together. And then you see there's a separation of God's people from the world. Now, we don't hear too much about, hear a lot about church and state separation, which is not even in the Constitution, but we don't hear too much about God's people and separation from the world. But Elijah called God's people together, and he drew a line of separation. He drew a line of separation in verse 32. In verse 32, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of grain. He made a trench around the altar. What is the trench? That is a line of separation of the altar of God's people. Did you know here this morning you are the altar of God's people? Out there in the world, in the community, and people's not in this church, the people don't care about the church, people don't care about Jesus Christ, are the people of the world. You are separated this morning from the people of the world. You are crossing that trench, and you're representing God's people to separate from the world. But outside, as I'm sitting up here, and I don't know how many cars has passed by while I've been at the sermon, but they are the people of the world, could care less about the things of Jesus Christ. But God called his people. He says, get together because we're going to have a line draw of separation. And this church is a line of separation for you and your family and also for the community, for everybody to understand where you stand with Jesus Christ. This church is separation to this world, worldly people. Are there trains in your life that divide you? Our trench that draws you. James chapter 4 and verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. There was separation. But also the biggest thing, there was also the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This element of revival in verse 33, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Elijah, he said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it upon the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We've been studying on Wednesday night for several Wednesday night about the sacrifice in the tabernacle. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament represents Jesus Christ's blood on Calvary's cross. There is a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Without the shedding of blood, there are no remission of sin. There's power in the blood. There must be an altar Revelation said they overcome him by the power of the blood. Jesus Christ on the cross is now the prince of this world cast out. There must be a sacrifice in your life. There must be a sacrifice. The blood must be applied to your life. But then we have the supernatural power of God was called down. Verses 34 and 35. And he said, do it the second time. In other words, fill them four barrels a second time. And they did it the second time. He says, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. They filled them barrels three different times. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. As we see this, we understand that sacrifice had to have that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then as we find out, not only that, the supernatural power of God, there was four barrels. Now listen, it hadn't rained. Now the thing was kind of dry at that time. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. It filled four barrels of water, poured out. They done that. Done it the second time. Done it the third time. That's 12 barrels of water, because old Elijah said, this is not going to be magical thing. This is going to be a supernatural power of God. We see if old Baal can burn wet wood, because we know that our God can burn wet wood. Now I'm going to tell you, he's a God of God. We don't have a revival. Say, well, we can't have a revival. People's wood wet. I'm going to tell you, we serve a God that can burn wet wood. Y'all know that? A lot of times they say, well, if you can't get on fire for God, your wood's wet. God can burn your wet wood, sir, ma'am. He can get your attention. He's going to get America's attention. You think I'm up here and just blabbering my lips and say that God's not going to do it? He's going to do it. And a lot of us sit here in our lifetime is going to see the judgment of God upon this nation for what we fail not to do. Not what we're just doing, what we fail as Christians not to do. The water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and of God. The power of God can burn wet wood and send a revival. But then look at the strength now that we have of believers' prayer. Believers' prayer. Verse 36 and 37. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord of God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Hear me, he says. Hear me, God, I'm praying that the God will be glorified. Now, most of our prayers, and my prayers a lot of times, as we know that how we pray, is not for the glory of God, but we pray, give me prayers, help me prayers. Most of the time, if you'll be honest with yourself, Lord, help me, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. But we very seldom ever pray, bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ in our prayer. John 12 and 28 says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. A lot of time we have no concern in our prayers of glorifying God. We want to be healed. We want what we want. All we do is asking this and asking that, but we have no conscience about glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Elijah's prayer was not praying for the church. He was not praying for that nation of Israel. He was praying, it said, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. That's what we need to be praying for. It's for the glory of God. Just like today, not really praying for our nation, not really praying for our church, but we ought to be praying now for the glory of God to happen upon our life and about our country, our church today. But then as you see, what's going to happen when we do all this? When we understand and get a vision of what God's trying to tell us before it's too late, listen, it's time for a showdown. That's what God is telling us. You better know who God you serve. You better get off the fence. And then what will happen? There'll be evidence of revival. What will these evidence be of revival when we do this? Verse 38 and 39, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that ran in the trench. And then all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You see what's going to happen when the evidence of revival falls? All this sacrifice, the fire will consume. It will consume your life. It said it consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water. Now, if the fire had failed that day, and there would have been no sacrifice on that altar, you know what that fire would have done? It would have consumed the people. If you don't plead the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon your life, when the fire falls, you know what's going to happen? It's going to consume you. The fire of God's going to fall. It's going to fall, and it will consume you. I tell you what, then you'll be able to tell whether they're Christians or church members, because it's coming. It's coming. It's going to consume. That's what fire does. It's going to consume this country. This country today is going to be a burning fire one of these days of judgment. But you also, fire will convert. You know what it said in verse 39? The people fell on their faces. We're afraid to even come to the altar and pray. How about the prayer wheel on Sunday nights, men and women? How about on Wednesday night? Listen, God's talking to his people. It's time for a showdown. Which God are you going to serve in this country? Which God's on the throne of your life? It's time for a showdown and let the people know. We can have revival at Pleasant Hill. You can have revival. Your family can have revival. When that happens, they'll be converts, because it says all the people saw it. And he said, he is God. You know what the trouble is? People don't see a change in their life. That's the reason more people don't come to see what's happening at Pleasant Hill. They don't see enough on our life to change their life. There's no change enough in our life. When we get where we ought to be, I'm going to tell you what, we'll have evidence revival, and I tell you, people will be saved. But before people saved, they got to be evidence of revival on God's people, of his church, to the people that know it. But they said, thou art God. And I'll tell you one thing, when that fire fell, there wasn't no fence straddlers. There wasn't no fence straddlers. We got a lot of fence straddlers today. And they're holding back revival. As I said, they're images of revivals, elements of revivals. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what, when all this is done, you'll see some evidence revivals. Because if there ever been a time in my lifetime, as I look back on this country, and I believe that we need a revival more than we ever needed before. If we don't turn back to God, it's going to be too late for a little grandchild that you're holding. It's going to be too late for your great-grandkids. It's going to be too late for your kids. We have never saw a bloodbath in this country like we're going to see when God sends his judgment. If God's people don't quit playing and get off the fence and get to start serving the right God, it's going to happen. And a lot of us sitting here, I believe, will see it happen. And they say, oh God, oh God, oh God. At that time, they won't be no fence straddlers. That time, you'll know who's saved and who's lost. It will separate the church member from the saved. Oh, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to heaven, yeah. Well, you will find out what God says. Apart from me, I never knew you, because there's coming a time when there's time for a showdown for God's people. If there ever been a time, I believe it's a time now. And you know who I'm pointing my finger at? The ones back of this pulpit right here. Because I know this heart. I don't know your heart. And I have not talked to you this morning. God talked to me. And I can't say you need a revival, and you need a revival, and the church needs revival, which I believe we do. But you know what I can say? It's me, O Lord, stands in a need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord. That's who I need to be concerned about. If I get right with God, you mean you're not right with God? There's a lot of things that can be changed in my life. You're not close to God? No, I'm not close to God as I should be. Are you? You know what? Most people got all the God they want. They're just as close to God they want to be. They don't want to be no closer, because the closer you get to God, the more commitment you'll have to make in your life, and you'll have to separate yourself from this world. And we don't want to do it. You know how I know it just touched your heart of what I said? Because I are one of them. There's no telling what God could do with a man or a woman who would be total sold out for God, including me. Including me, and that's you. God can make a change in your life. Did you know it? You know, God can make a change in this church.
changing your family? Or you have some family members not serving the Lord? You got some family members not saved, loved ones, friends, neighbors? I wonder if they look at your testimony. I wonder if they call you up on Sunday morning and he's going to talk to you. There you answer the phone when you should be in church. How about on Wednesday night? How about they call you on Wednesday night? Where are you at on Wednesday night? You know, this church is an altar. And God's altar is broken down in our country. And there's a lot of churches that's closing their doors, and I understand why. So few people come on Wednesday night, they can't pay the light bill. They're not concerned. God cannot send a revival till God's people gets right. And he'll burn that way it would. Lord, he may be trying to tell us something now. We've got a lot of sickness, have we not? He may be trying to get our attention now. There's a lot of problems we're having, especially across our church. If God's spoken to you, do you want a revival? Do you want to see things change in your life? We fix to have a song. You know, it says all God's people fell on their faces. Do you want a revival? So I don't like what you had to preach this morning, preacher. I didn't like it either. You know why? Because it hit me. It got my attention. I didn't like it either. You know that's what the Word of God will do to you? Open this Word of God. You read the Word of God, you know what it is? It'll read you. And a lot of times I don't like what I see in my life. Do you? The areas you need to change. Are you saved this morning? You know, without a shout of doubt, are you on any fence today? There's an altar. As we come with a song of invitation, it's going to be up to you. We've got a few more Sundays before we go into our service of revivals. But I tell you, we can start this morning. You know, I pray it's already started in my heart. I don't know about you, but when the elements of revival come, things will be changed. And people want to come. There was a time whenever this altar and this choir was full of people. I'm going to help you out, Brother Orville. There was a time when people couldn't wait to get back on Sunday night. I've heard them tell me many times, I can't wait to get back on Sunday night and sing in the choir. Now they don't even come to church, period. Whew. Do you want a revival? God, do your thing. And he will.